Revelation chapter 1, and I'll start by reading verse 10. John's writing this, and he says, "I was in spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." I want to talk about the Lord's day. And contrary to what a lot of people believe, it's not Sunday. I listen to a Christian station sometimes on the way to church Sunday morning, and they'll get on there and say, "Hope you're enjoying our programming this Lord's Day morning." And I'm like, they're missing out. They're missing out on what this is all about. The Lord's Day is not Sunday. It is, and if you don't see that, you'll miss a key to what a lot of the book of Revelation is about here. John here was caught forward in spirit to the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is the day of Christ's millennial reign, is what that is. And John was caught forward to that day because as you read on, he says, "I heard behind me a voice." And he turns around to see what this voice was that spoke to him. And he sees one that looks like the Son of Man. And he has in his hand the seven stars. And there's the seven candlesticks. And he says in verse 20, "The seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." So he's looking back over the church age, and that's what chapters 2 and 3 in Revelation go through that and talk about the churches. So John, he's turning back and looking at that, and if you don't see that is what's going on here, you miss a lot of what's going on. If you just think that John was on the Isle of Patmos on Sunday and got a vision, that's you missed the whole revelation of what's going on here. He's caught forward to the Lord's Day. And this study is not about the book of Revelation, but we'll refer to it at times. So there's this key to understanding this. And I also want to talk about the day of the Lord. So these are two different things I want to bring out tonight in the Bible study. I'll start with a little bit of background here. If we want to turn over to Matthew 28, verse 18. This is after Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. And Matthew 28, 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So all power was given to him. But you know, he has not yet taken that power to himself. Hebrews 2, 8. If you want to try to keep up with me, that's fine. I'll just turn to these. Hebrews 2:8, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." So, not yet. He hasn't taken that power to himself. This isn't the Lord's day. This is man's day. And I would like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Bring out this point about man's day. 1 Corinthians 4, 3 says, this is Paul speaking, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self." That word judgment is the Greek word Strong's number 2250, hamera. And it's translated day or days over 350 times in the Bible. And it's just this one time it's translated judgment. So this is man's day. That's what that, you could look at it there. He says, "I'm not judged of you or of man's day." This is man's day. God's given man his way pretty much in the world to do what he will with it. And how's that going? Not very good. It's getting worse all the time. But we know that it's not going to last. But Jesus is going to take the power to himself. And you can read about that in Revelation chapter 11, in verses 15 through 17. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. So this is showing a time when Jesus will take that power to himself. But the day of the Lord's going to commence with that first trumpet sound. And let's look at that in 1 Thessalonians 4. And this is a familiar verse that we have on our hearts that's going to be made real, real soon, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians 4, just verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we're waiting for, that first trumpet sound. And I like how, you know, I've been thinking about this too lately. They're caught up with them in the clouds. Recently here we had a song about the land of an unclouded day and unclouded sky. And we're looking forward to being in that time. But, you know, right now I'm looking for the clouds. I'm waiting for those clouds. I mean, the Lord's going to descend, and we're going to meet him with those clouds of believers that were raised. And hallelujah, looking forward to that. So this shows what's going to happen first. And then Jesus will return to heaven with his bride. And then the Lord's day officially begins with Jesus taking his throne in heaven. That's when it starts. And that's in Revelation 4. Verses 1 and 2. After this, now again, here's John. He had looked back over the church age, and now he says, after this church age, I look and behold, a door was open in heaven. And that's that door translation that we just read about there in Thessalonians. Open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. And the words, I love how the words in the book of Revelation are so significant. He says, the first voice I heard was a trumpet. It's that first trumpet. He could have said, I heard a voice, you know, but no, the Holy Spirit had him write it that way. The first voice which I heard was a trumpet, which said, come up hither. Hallelujah. That's going to happen. Aren't you excited just to know that it's not just a story, a fairy tale. It's something that, you know, have you ever just, I've been inside at work, you know, and thought about this and just had to walk outside and look up it a little bit just to see, you know, okay, not just yet, but it sure feels like it's about to happen, you know. Praise the Lord. Come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So here Jesus is taking his throne. And that's going to be the official beginning of the Lord's day. But notice that he did not take his throne until he had his wife with him. That's why I read that portion in Thessalonians. He's first going to come and get that first rank of believers, and that will be his wife. He'll take his wife with him. And we see here in Revelation 4 and verse 6, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And this beasts are living creatures. That's the bride. That's significant of the bride. And we sang that song tonight, you know, that in the midst and round the throne. And so we rejoice in that. We think about that. That's the only group that's shown sitting in the midst of the throne. And the king and queen, they're in the throne together. So she'll be there, and by God's grace, that'll be us. We'll be there with him in the throne, ruling and reigning with him. Hallelujah. And Daniel prophesied about this time. Turn over to Daniel chapter 7. And verses 13 and 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. There's those clouds again. And came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So there's the Lord's day. There's what's going to happen. The Father's going to say, this is all yours. And it will be that way. They're all given to him. And we think of the millennium time, you know, when you think of it as being a time of peace and righteousness. that the earth will be made beautiful again. Everyone's going to know the Lord. Just a wonderful time. But I want to talk about the difference now between the Lord's Day and the Day of the Lord. The Lord's Day, again, as I mentioned, that's the entire period of Jesus Christ's universal reign. It's in the entire time. But the Day of the Lord is only a small part of that. And as we read here in Daniel, God's going to give world dominion to his son. But the rulers of the earth are not going to submit to him. And if we'll read that, let's turn over to Psalm 2 and read that. The rulers of the world think about this. I'm just going to read the psalm. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So here it is. God's given will be given all his power over to his Son, and the rulers of the world won't recognize that Jesus is the supreme ruler, the omnipotent ruler. And so that, along with the Jews not accepting Jesus as their Messiah, is going to bring in the tribulation. The tribulation is going to come in at that point. So I want to look at some of the descriptions of the Day of the Lord. That phrase, the Lord's Day, is only found once in the Bible, but the Day of the Lord is found 27 times in the Bible. So there's a lot written about it. And I just want to read some of those to see how it compares. So go over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. And verses 11 and 12. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And I rejoice to read that. You know, we love our Jesus, and I do not like it when people put him down. You know, he became a man and he left everything he had and took a lowly place and suffered, and he did nothing but good while he was here on earth, and he does nothing but good to all those who believe in him. But the people that refused to believe in him, they treated him terribly. They rejected him. They called him names. They spat on him. They crucified him. And the way the world is today, people have very little respect for the Lord Jesus. They use his name in vain all the time. And they try to discount his wonderful word that he's given to us to stand on. And one of the things that's so prevalent is I see it almost in the news almost every day about creation, how they talk about a big bang and they talk about evolution and all these things. And they just try to discount what God has done, the amazing thing that God has done in creating this world and keeping it. Man is so proud, you know, that's the devil's influence that makes that. He's the proud one. But I like this here. The lofty looks of man will be brought down. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. It won't be man. It'll be the Lord that is exalted. Hallelujah. Turn over to Isaiah 13 now. And starting verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. That's, again, you don't really, when you think about the millennial period, you don't think about that, but this is what's going to have to happen before that all comes in. And go over to, now, Jeremiah chapter 46. In verse 10, for this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiate and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. So he's going to avenge himself of his adversaries, you know, and a lot of times someone will do something, will get something wrong to us, but we have to remember that the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. So he's going to avenge himself of his adversaries. Let's go over to the book of Joel. Joel has a lot to say about the day of the Lord. Let's see, Hosea, Joel, there we go. Joel chapter 2. Starting in verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, and it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be after any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them it is a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. It's going to be quite a transformation going on there, isn't there? Joel chapter 2, verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, and for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? And then verse 31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And then Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall quake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. And I like that. The Lord's going to roar out of Zion. He's the Lion of the King of Judah, the tribe of Judah. And he's going to roar forth, and it's going to be terrible, though, for those that are not on his side. Now let's go over to Amos. Next book over here, chapter 5, and in verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord, for what end is it for you? For the day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned upon his hand upon the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? It's going to start out that way until the Lord makes it new, isn't it? And then, let's see here. We'll go to, I'm going to skip over a couple here. I think you're getting the idea here. but let's go over to the New Testament now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So you can see there's quite a difference between the Lord's day and the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, let's just start in verse 1 here. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And then just one more in 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So God's going to make it new. He's going to have this time, the Lord's day, which is going to be a terrible thing, but the Lord's a man of war. And it's like our pastor's been going over those Gentile brides and how they, when something was theirs, they took it. They went after it and took it. Well, this is the Lord's, and God's going to give him all this thing. He's going to take it. He's not going to let anybody stand there and say, no, you can't have it. He's going to take it, and we're going to be there with him. Hallelujah. And it's going to be kind of a messy thing, but when it's all done, he's just going to make it new. He'll make it all new again. It'll be a beautiful place for us. Actually, we won't be here, but we'll be up there. It'll be a beautiful place for those that are here. So, according to Brother Copley in the Revelation study book, the day of the Lord covers 75 days. In that short time, the great whore or the false church will be judged. The battle of Armageddon will be fought. Satan will be cast into hell, and the two beasts will be cast into the lake of fire. All world dominion will be brought completely under the control of Jesus Christ as Almighty God. And Israel will believe in Jesus as their Messiah. And they will exclaim in Isaiah 25:9, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And again, that's another thing we are so looking forward to, the day that Israel accepts Jesus Christ as their Messiah. And, you know, now we have that we could pluck some brands from the burning, and here and there a Jew will believe, but by and large they don't, but then they will. It's going to take this time, though, this time where the Lord gathers all the nations against them, and they're hopeless, and their own resources they finally realize aren't sufficient, and they're going to have to cry out to the Lord, and he's going to come in for them, and he's going to be the one that rescues them. He's going to be the one, and they'll know he's their Messiah. So I want to just read a few verses, though, that will describe the millennial reign of Christ, which is the Lord's day, and how wonderful it'll be here on earth. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 2. And verse 2 through 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So how wonderful will that be, that people will be like, let's go learn about the Lord. Let's go to Jerusalem. That's where God's at. Let's go learn about him. Turn over to chapter 11 here in Isaiah. And verse 6 through 9. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Oh, hallelujah. This is like going back somewhat to the Garden of Eden. The animals weren't killing and eating each other back then. They got along. But it's going to be that way. But the most wonderful thing, the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now people don't know the Lord. Even there's Christians that don't know the Lord very good at all either. And it's sad. You know, he's so wonderful. You just want to know more. And it's a sad thing when people that truly are born again Christians and they go to church and what do they hear? They hear about world events or a cause or a ministry or something, and they're going about getting busy and they're not taking in the Word of God. They're not learning about the Lord. They're going to get to heaven and have to try to catch up, start to know who He is. I want to know Him now as much as I can. And that's how Paul was, right? That I may know Him. He had known the Lord for like 30 years at that point. And he said, I want to know Him. I want to know Him more. That's the thing. The Lord's inexhaustible, you know, and you can't ever ask the Lord for too much and say, Lord, I want to know more about you. And you say, no, that's all there is. you couldn't exhaust one verse in this Bible. He's so amazing. It's going to be wonderful that people will know the Lord like that. And I'm so thankful that we emphasize knowing the Lord here. And He has to get a hold of your heart to do that. And it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. So let's go over to Isaiah 35. Start in verse 1. I was going to read this whole thing, I guess. The wilderness and a solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Wonderful times. And think about all these illnesses, these blind and deaf and lame all being healed. And like when Jesus was here, He went around healing everybody. But this is going to be so much. And the land's going to be totally restored. The desert blossom like the rose, the streams, and people going around with joy and gladness, and the sorrow and sighing is going to flee away. You know, Jesus was a man of sorrows, and you know, we go through sorrows in our life. We have a joy that no one can take away inside, but there's sorrows we go through. The trials we face, they're not enjoyable at the moment, but they're working for something in us. We know that, but this will be a time when it'll be the joy. The sorrow and sighing is going to be gone. So now, let's look a little bit more specifically at what's going on with us instead of just what all the fun stuff Israel gets to enjoy. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the Lord's Day is also referred to as the Day of Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, let me read verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, blameless in the day of the Lord. You know, isn't that something to be rejoicing about? I know the church I was raised in, they talked about you know, when you're done with this life, you got to go somewhere else and kind of make amends for the things you've done. And then, you know, if you're good enough, maybe you'll pass on. I don't even know what they were teaching. But we're not, the Lord's judging us not for a reward, not for sin. He took the sin judgment upon himself. And the only thing we get to look forward to is our rewards. And he walks through our midst right now. He walks through our midst and he sees our hearts and he sees what we're laying a hold of. And he'll meet that. Whatever our faith will lay a hold of is ours. The Lord, he's a rewarder. He's a giver. And he wants us to have. So we're blameless. We're just looking forward to what he's going to have for us there. We're not looking forward to like, oh, now I've got to stand before him and, you know, face up to all the bad things I've done in my life. Oh, hallelujah. That would take too long. So thank the Lord. Blameless. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 14, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, isn't that such a rejoicing we get when someone we know lays a hold of the truth? Whether it's just a relative of ours or it's someone that we've testified to, or, you know, a brother and sister here in a meeting, when they lay a hold of truth. And you rejoice, but how much more in that day? You know, I'll look at Scott and I'll say, I told you, Scott. No, I won't. But anyway, he told me. But yeah, it'll be rejoicing. We'll just say, oh, you know, we're so glad we went this way. Aren't you glad we went this way? You know, not like, you know, like we heard Brother Copley, I'm so glad I didn't miss it, Lord. What if I'd have missed it? But it's not that way at all. It's just like rejoicing. You know, everything that we look forward to and believed in the Lord for and strive toward is all ours. And we're just, hallelujah, rejoicing in our brothers and sisters and what they take with them too and to themselves. And glory to God. It's not going to be like looking at someone and envying them for what they have that you don't or something like that. Not at all. It's going to be, hallelujah, rejoicing. The more than anyone takes a hold of. Philippians chapter 1. In verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And again, it's the Lord's doing that work. He's the one doing it. It's not us doing it. And aren't you glad we don't have to like hold out faithful to the end? And it's all about, you know, how good we are and faithful we are and how strong we are and so forth. It's not that. He's the faithful one. And I want to take in his word and be full of faith, of course, but he's the faithful one. It's not me. So he's begun the good work, and he's going to finish it. He'll complete it. He'll perform it. It'll be perfect until the day of Christ. We can have confidence in that, and that is something we need to lay a hold of, because we can get discouraged and say, like, oh, I messed up again, and I blew it this time, but, you know, he's the faithful one. He's going to complete the good work he's begun. Praise the Lord. And then turn over to chapter 2, verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, we have Paul's gospel, and the Lord gave him this revelation, this dispensation to write down for us. And we hold forth the word of life here. We don't hold forth a doctrine of men or a creed or something like that. We hold forth the word of God, the word of life. And that's our rejoicing, because that's what's going to last. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so what we're learning, what we're taking in of the word of God is forever. So Paul said, holding forth that word of life and rejoicing in the day of Christ, that we haven't run or labored in vain. And you know, you can, I think today was a day at work where I kind of labored in vain, felt like. But taking in the word of God, you're not laboring in vain. You know, when you believe the Lord and rightly divide the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes of your understanding, we look forward to our day, our payday someday, don't we? So just in closing here, the day of the Lord is about judgment. We've heard about that. But the Lord's day or the day of Christ, is about rejoicing in rewards. The earth's going to have manifold blessings, and it will. It's going to be totally changed and have wonderful things. But we've got a better thing. We get to be ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the throne. So we'll be ruling over the earth, and it'll be a glorious thing. But don't you just look forward to the day when our Lord's going to be magnified and glorified, and the world's going to know that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's what I'm looking forward to. So I hope this has been encouragement to you tonight. So praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.